puts it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Boyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we got a wonderful show for you tonight. Welcome into Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. My thoughts to BK, Jake, and Cody from the Wheelhouse. What an unbelievable job of breaking down that U.S.-Mexico game they just gave us. So thank you, BK, Jake, and Cody. Just kidding, guys. And remember, I knew Andrew Carlson before you did. He was my friend first. All right, that is our producer, Andrew Carlson. We bring him in right now. And, Andrew, I'm going to let you gloat. Arsenal with a 1-0 victory over Watford this weekend in front of almost 60,000. They are now, I believe, fifth in the table on 20 points. And you, if I'm remembering correctly, you were not a big fan of Arteta at one point. I said stay with him. Stay with him. Give him the rope to turn this around.
Oh, you're right. I was on the fence. I wasn't firmly in the camp of Arteta out, because you know that's how these, you know, camps are branded these days. You're either in for the manager, you're out. So right now it's Ole in or Ole out if you're a United fan. And I wasn't necessarily an Arteta out person for Arsenal over the past year or so, but I was certainly on the fence, because after winning the FA Cup in his first season with all the COVID mess that was going on over there, there were some green shoots that you thought, okay, we can build off of this. And then last year was somewhat of a disaster. And until the final five games of the season, where I think they won five straight to finish the year and sort of put a nice gloss on what was otherwise a rather underwhelming season, things looked a little bleak. And then when you start the season, obviously with all the caveats that they had with the COVID outbreak in the camp, not getting all their summer transfers in time for the start of the season. But when you start the season with three straight defeats and a -9 goal differential, obviously things don't look good. But the fact that they have managed to claw themselves out of that hole to where they are now, being fifth in the table, and for me at least, one of the most optimistic positions for any team in the Premier League. They've got the youngest average squad in the league. They're currently fifth. It's a much, much better position, and one that I honestly could not have envisioned them being in even just a month ago.
And by the way, Arsenal on 20 points, you know, they're only 3 points off second place Manchester City, who's three behind Chelsea. You got City, West Ham, and Liverpool all in front of them. But it is remarkable. Emile Smith-Rowe had the only goal in the 1-0 win at Watford. That game was at the Emirates. All right, so why the turnaround for you, Andrew?
For me, a lot of it comes down to the fact that Arteta's finally got players who are capable of sort of playing the style of football that he wants to play. It's not just the fact that, you know, you've got good players. And because a club like Arsenal, you're always going to have good players at a variety of positions. But there's more to playing in certain styles and systems than that. And he's finally got a group of players that not only just fits the ideology that he has as a manager, but I think are also completely and totally bought in. I think that's the biggest thing for me, is you see the buy-in from every single player up and down the roster. And you look at someone who's a veteran, like Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, for example, at the striker position. He's running his tail off each and every game in his young 30s, but you know, there are a lot of veteran strikers who aren't out there pressing for 90 minutes a game, and he's out there pressing like he's 25 years old, running from the first minute to the very last until his legs don't have anything anymore. And when you get that sort of buy-in from the veteran leaders of the team, it trickles down all the way to every single one of the younger guys, and it's been a joy to watch the effort and the energy with which they've played over the past 2 months.
How about that take from my producer, Andrew Carlson? I mean, this is a guy who's watching his team. He's on top of it. He's watching the games. You referenced the culture of the club, which you and I talk many times. We just look like guys who are just mentally checked out. Didn't look like they put an effort in, including some of the guys you just mentioned. Aubameyang, by the way, had a penalty that was saved by Ben Foster. So he's, the man from Gabon has got to start practicing his penalties. But, yeah, it's exciting, and it's good to see a good Arsenal. And I'm happy for you. That was a great take from you. And, all right, so you be with us tonight. We'll be getting another take or two from Andrew throughout the show. All right, so the show is always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We got a great show for you tonight. The next 2 hours are going to be good. The call-in number is 713-780-3776. So if you're a Gooner fan, you might want to call in and tag on to what Andrew just said. He's pumping you up. 713-780-ESPN. Streaming at ESPN975.com. Big shout out to John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. There are presenting sponsors. It's DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, are getting this show on the air. I'm grateful to John and his firm, both here and in Austin, because our Austin show is also presented by the Daspit Law Firm. So when you think about getting a personal injury attorney, think about the Daspit Law Firm. All right, so you can hit me up on Twitter and Instagram throughout the show, Glenn Davis Sock and Soccer Matters GD. Also, shout out to Daspit Law Firm, obviously, FM Kitchen and Bar, Cactus Music, Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture, Advantage BMW Midtown, and Hugh O'Connor's. Tonight, here's who we got on the show. We got a great roster here. Barcelona, Spain, we'll talk to TV3's Jordi Sunyer on the big news of Xavi being named the head coach. Incredible reception for him there. Let's see if all this is going to be kept in real context. We will take some of the key quotes and answers from Dynamo GM Pat Onstad, who has been impressive, transparent, upfront about a number of things from the 30-minute interview I did with him. This man's integrity, upfront nature, for lack of a better word, no BS when it comes to volleying back questions. And by the way, I'm going to give it again to Tab Ramos for raising the bar of transparency and communication at this soccer club, which had really, really just disappeared, to be honest with you. It was always about a feel good. Honesty is a great thing. Pat Onstad is going to be honest. This is how you respect your fan base. This is how you respect the media as well. So we're going to take some of those quotes from Pat. We're going to re-air those, and we're going to talk a little bit about them, and I'm going to want your call, too, at 713-780-3776. We'll get into U.S. men's national team against Mexico, the great rivalry. Brian Shireta of American Soccer Now. We're going to discuss the potential starting lineup for the U.S. ahead of that World Cup qualifier on Friday. And then final segment of the night, it'll be live. Dynamo Academy Director Paul Holliker will join me to discuss the Dynamo player development. And, you know, we're going to ask Paul real stuff. I mean, I spoke to him today. I said, look, you know, we got to talk about what the fans want to hear. They want to know when more players are going to get moved into the first team. We saw young players getting a debut. We saw Juan Castilla get a debut. But we need to get a better grip on that and how in the future more of these players are going to get pushed through. You'll remember Tab Ramos saying he thought there were five that have the potential to be pros. And let's not get ahead of ourselves, because I'll tell you, we make a big mistake down here is that we blow up young players too quickly. We've seen it over the years. It is a monster mistake. I understand that you have to use the academy and, you know, some of the talents there as a vehicle of promotion, but you really got to be careful with that stuff, in my opinion. And this comes from somebody who's been in player development for 11 years. So I'm not just speaking out of my you know what. Okay, so Paul Holliker is going to join us. Looking forward to that as well. We're going to talk about the under-23 team with him and a number of other things. Okay, so Manchester United got absolutely destroyed, and I think you would agree with me on that, Andrew. They got taken apart by Manchester City. If not for David De Gea, it would have been 5-6-0 at halftime. I don't think there's any question. I still think City's still missing a striker. But the domination in this game was just unbelievable, even though it ended only 2-0. What they did to United at Old Trafford really was a nightmare. It was all City the first 36 minutes. I thought United gave them too much respect, too much time on the ball. Bailly had the own goal, which, again, was preventable, I think. There was absolutely no pressure on the delivery. And Eric Bailly, you know, was not really in line with the ball. I think if he was another 2 yards to his right towards the end line, it's a cross that's going to hit him. But positionally, he's not in a great place. And he hadn't played a lot. It was his first start, I think, and was caught out of position dealing with the cross, and it led to an own goal. De Gea made a boatload of great saves in the first half. And then guess what? You get a second in the 45th minute. Delivery that goes to the far post. I mean, take your pick. Shaw, Maguire all there. De Gea. And Bernardo Silva sneaks it in. Third of the year for him. Fantastic delivery. United boot off the field. And their guy's not putting in an effort, quite frankly. And Bruno Fernandes was one of them, as much as I love Bruno. So a lot going on there. We'll touch a little bit more on that later. But I think what I want to do, Andrew, is I want to get right into urging people to call in, 713-780-3776. And I want to start out with some of the Pat Onstad sound, because I just think this was a very, very good interview. I think there's so much optimism in this interview from him, from Ted Siegel. And it's just so refreshing. I mean, I don't even know if I can explain to people how refreshing, and I'm going to even personalize this. This is simply for me, having this radio show over all these years, having suffered through the last 8-9 years, to have people like Tab Ramos and Pat Onstad come in, speak respectfully to all of us, be transparent, communicate, which are all things you need in order to speak to your fan base. And sadly, before these two, we didn't have that person here. President was not respected in the soccer community, I hate to say it, and was making soccer decisions and talking soccer. As much as I love Matt Jordan, it was, you know, always kind of a roundabout answer. And, you know, I mean, you can't sit there and talk to Glenn Davis, who's done 11 years in youth soccer, and convince me that RGV is better than having a reserve team in your own backyard. And I get it. It wasn't Matt Jordan's fault. It was a decision made by ownership. But you can't say you're serious about player development when you got that team down there. So the good news is the Dynamo will have an under-23 team in the future. We're going to talk with Paul Holliker about that tonight. We will talk about Xavi coming back also with Jordi Sunyer of TV3. So I'm going to start here with I thought, which was a very compelling Pat Onstad comment. And it's a comment on something that every professional soccer club needs. And let's just take it from MLS. They have it in Atlanta. They have this wonderful secret sauce. They have it in Seattle. They have it in Kansas City. It's called healthy pressure. Here's Pat Onstad on the importance of healthy pressure.
Yeah. I think to be successful, there has to be some tension. There has to be tension on players, on staff, on front office staff. I think if it's just, oh, we'll come to the office and things didn't go so well on Saturday, that's fine. Then I don't think you're going to be able to improve. Now, does it have to be miserable where you're going back and forth? No, it should be a fun place to come in to work, and you should enjoy the people you work with and enjoy the project. But at the same token, there needs to be some accountability. And I think more than anything, we want to build a winning culture. And to me, winning cultures are built under tension and stress and a bit of pressure. So you need to perform out of that. And there'll be some players here that won't be able to cut it. I don't want to say it. There'll be also probably be some staff people that won't be able to do it, handle it as well. But to be successful in a successful organization, there has to be some pressure and tension there.
That's fantastic stuff. I mean, that is just raising the bar exponentially. Players that aren't going to be here, people that aren't going to cut it, both with the squad and also with the front office. You can't go the way we have gone here. 15 seasons, one playoffs in two forgiving leagues when it comes to making the playoffs. I'm sorry, I have to be brutally honest, because we got to know where we're coming from in order to go forward. And to make playoffs out of 15 potential seasons between the Dynamo and Dash one time has to tell you one thing very clearly, that some people are not good at their jobs. Who knows? It might be the TV commentator's fault. I don't know. Okay? But what I'm saying here is we've put up with Category C effort. We've put up with Category C talent. We've put up with in many ways, and by the way, I'm not painting everybody with the same brush here. Only if the shoe fits, okay? Only if the shoe fits. It's not everybody. There's tremendous people that I'm working with this year and even during those dark times that were tremendous people and passionate about the game. That there's far too many that aren't. So, if you think about this, this bar raising by Pat Onstad, this is the greatest thing you could hear as a Dynamo fan. It doesn't get any better than this. Ted Siegel talked about increased resources. We need this. This is what we've been waiting for a long time. It's not the same old, I don't think, anymore. Pat Onstad's competitive. I mean, you watched him play. He's also learned. He's put the time. He's put the effort in. This is exciting. That's all I'm going to tell you. This is positive. All right. FM Kitchen and Bar, Westheimer and Montrose, one of their new locations. Also, you can go to the one on Shepherd. Great beer garden over there. I take my dog there all the time. And by the way, if you don't like anything I'm saying here, you call in now. 713-780-3776. Take any calls. You think I'm off base, you tell me. 713-780-3776. But I know I'm not. FM Kitchen and Bar. Get to the location north of Washington on Shepherd. You can head over there. Tremendous craft cocktails, great burger, whole bunch of good stuff going on. When it comes to the different food selections and the differing types of cocktails. So outdoor patio, tons of picnic benches. Get over there. The weather is good. Well, it may not be good tomorrow, but it'll be good again Thursday and Friday. All right, we're going to take a break. Andrew Carlson with the take of the show so far. Arsenal is back for the moment.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We're off and running here tonight. We're going to get more Pat Onstad sound here. Again, very transparent, very open, tremendous communication. Exciting times. He's in town, got right to work. So we appreciate that. We've got the Jordi Sunyer coming up, all about the Xavi introduction or reintroduction to Barcelona fans. Quick shout out here right now. I want to mention this. Advantage BMW in Midtown, go down there. My friends are down there. Justin, Stephen Prather, go down there. I've driven a BMW for years. I've leased. I've bought from Advantage numerous times. They got a lot of new models in down there. I love the drive of a BMW. It's like no other. 5 Series, I took it up to Austin this weekend to call a Big 12 soccer championship, which, by the way, was an incredible Big 12 final between TCU and Texas. Both of them get into the NCAA tournament. TCU scoring 2 second-half goals to win 2-1 after Texas was up. A young lady, a freshman named Ashlyn Miller, hit an absolute bomb from about 24 yards out. Which, by the way, you can say on TV. We'll talk a little bit about college soccer and who got into the tournament on the women's side. I've had a 5 Series. I'm in an X5 now. Love it. Advantage BMW in Midtown is going to take you through sales, service, finance. It can be done very, very easily. Get in the 3, a 5, a 7 Series, and you will get that hometown advantage down there. AdvantageBMWHouston.com. Remember, go to the Advantage BMW Midtown site and ask for Justin or Steven. All right, we got a caller on the phone now. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Bill, you're on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm.
Hey, Glenn, I was wondering if you said you're going to have Paul Holliker on. I was wondering if you could ask him a question for me, and I'll kind of preface it by saying that I'm a longtime Dynamo fan and longtime season ticket holder, although I'm not right now, and I'd like to be, and I'm really interested on, obviously excited about Ted Siegel and very excited about Pat Onstad, But with Paul, I want to know what's going to be different about our player development and our ability to get young players into this team. You know, I'm going to watch a lot of playoff games in about 12 or 13 days, and I'm going to see these teams that have these players that are exciting to watch, some of them actually scoring MLS goals of the week, and they're not yet, you know, 20 years old. And our club, and I know this is not Paul Holliker completely, but I want to know what's going to be different now in our team, or is anything going to be different to change this?
Great question. Wrote it down. We'll pass it on to Paul Holliker when he comes on. Paul's been with the program for 3 years, so we have to remember he probably deserves some time to get things changed around. But absolutely, we are going to be very, very much dialed in on, hey, when do we see all of this pay some fruition to the first team? Because I think that's what fans like yourself are really most in tune with. So, all right, thanks for that phone call. That question will definitely be delivered to Paul, and he'll have an opportunity to comment on it. So thank you for that, Bill. All right, 713-780-3776. With that, I think, Andrew, I'd like you to play soundbite number two. Here's Pat Onstad on the Dynamo Academy.
We'll talk and sit down, but I don't think that'll be a priority right now. The priority is to try to get the first team moving in the right direction. Well, once we get there, then I think we'll dig into the academy. But first and foremost, I think he's trying his best to try to make inroads in the community. I think that's important. Something that we went through in Columbus recently where we really didn't have a great connection with the community, and we've worked really hard at that. I talked a bit about in the press conference in Columbus was a really good hire was Dante Washington that they hired there, an ex-player from Columbus. And he started running like youth partnerships and strategic partnerships. And he was really able to kind of get the grassroots growing again and connecting with the clubs after years of, frankly, neglect. And I think that's probably at the stage where we're at now where we're trying to grow that again. And I know Paul's working hard at it.
Well, there's Pat Onstad on the academy and talking about the academy. And he referenced Columbus. Columbus did a 180 degree and kind of, according to Pat, got out of the youth market and competing directly with the clubs, right? Which is always, it's a fire starter. So here's Pat Onstad on getting out of the youth market in Columbus.
I think the biggest thing was to get out of the youth market for us was you know, where you're not competing on a regular basis. So I think that was important. Once we did that, I think that's when the clubs looked and said, oh, okay, you are kind of like following your promise and you're following through. So at this point, like I said, it's going to be a little while before we can dig in there. But at the same token, I think those are kind of big steps forward when you can try to work with the clubs rather than recruiting against them. So what you want to get to when it's successful is you can help what you share your resources that you have. Listen, we have very good coaches in our academy. Obviously, in the professional level, we have great coaches, you know, U23 level. So those are resources we have. We have a great training facility. We have all these kind of resources that we can share with the community. And once people understand, like, listen, we're trying to grow the game as much as you are, that, you know, hopefully we get to a point where they say, okay, listen, we have a real special player here. Instead of us, I think we're at the point now that for them to develop further, they need to go to the Dynamo Academy. And that's ultimately what you want. But when you're always taking, it's tough for people to trust you. So you have to be able to give. And once you can start giving and showing that it's real, that this is a real, like, collaborative effort in the community, that's when you'll make some inroads.
Well, that is compelling. Guess what? We've been saying that on this show for years. We've been saying that about healthy pressure for years. To deaf ears. Now you got a GM who fully believes in this. And this is a way, as you heard Pat Onstad there, and he was talking about Columbus, you don't directly compete for players. You work together with the overall youth community. You extend the olive branch. Now you're going to have to go back into the youth community now if you were to do this, and you're going to have to suture a lot of wounds. But fantastic. You want trust. You really want to be community, not just throw the word out there, but actually work with the community. And look, there's unsavory people in the youth soccer community also. Okay? No. There's not all angels there. There's a tremendous amount of money changing hands. Are you hearing me? Money changing hands. But it can be done where we resource and source out the pride of this soccer community again and turn this thing around. This would be the perfect advent and perfect partner to what Pat Onstad's doing here. Now, he's focused on the core business, which is the first team. And if you go back when we added the Dash, I believe firmly that was not the time to add a women's soccer team and an NWSL team. And I love women's soccer. I call a lot of women's soccer. It's the right time to do it in Austin. It's the right time to do it in Atlanta. It was not the right time when our core business was suffering here. And I'm still, well, I know this. I know the reason why it was. And they're not the right reasons. And that's why it got off to a very, very poor start. And, you know, it's turning the corner now under James Clarkson and looking a lot better. But it's tough. But fans, you know, that are bought in and don't see you as a threat. We don't get enough youth players at games. We don't get enough anybody at games right now. We got to turn this around, and we can do that by being more open and not saying, hey, we're the pro club, and create more trust and more community, extend the olive branch, more goodwill, more heartfelt effort. We can do it. And goodwill and trust will go a long way. They'll go a long way when you're not doing well. And honesty and being transparent will go a long way when you're not doing well. And people remain supportive of you. Kansas City had a bad season. Nobody went away. Because the soccer community and the people in the community, they're respected 24/7. So let's go with Pat Onstad. Let's continue on the youth market stuff. Let's talk about Onstad on working collaboratively with the youth community. That's soundbite four.
Some clubs, you know, when we dealt with in Columbus, I was a privy to a lot of those conversations. Some clubs were just flat out, yeah, I'll take X amount of dollars and that would make us happy because we need it. We're a club that needs it. Or there's other clubs that, you know, what we would rather do is you have a club night at a game and give us 200 tickets and we'll be over the moon and, you know, put us up on the big screen or let our kids be ball boys one day. So it depends on the club. I do think that's obviously I'm getting way ahead of myself here, probably a year ahead of myself. But I think there are lots of opportunities there and it's not necessarily one size fits all. But what I do think is where it's really important is that we're all growing the game together and we're moving in the right direction.
And that was Pat Onstad talking about, you know, if ultimately the youth community at the older age levels begin to push their most talented players to the Dynamo, let's say one of them signs a professional contract, well, you got to go compensate them. They deserve something. And we've had players at the Dynamo that have been turned into simply Dynamo players that have played for the Houstonians and all these other clubs that never get a mention. Let's be open. Let's mention everybody. Let's bring everybody in. Let's be the leaders. Let's provide the leadership. Well, you're getting that from Pat Onstad. I want another comment here from Tab Ramos, because Tab made a really, really interesting comment. This is interesting, and I agree with this comment. It's soundbite number 7. It's Tab on the development of the academy, and this comes from a guy that has spent a lot of time developing young soccer players with the under-20s. Tab Ramos.
I think that we have the opportunity to have one of the top three academies in the country in Houston. There's no reason why we would be any different than an academy, let's say in LA, or what Dallas has done in Dallas and what, you know, maybe the Red Bulls New York City can do in that area with Philadelphia in that market. Because if you take the New York market and Philadelphia market together, that's what Houston is basically. And there's no reason why we couldn't be a top three market here. Where is the academy? I think needs to be a lot better. I think what I saw when I arrived at the academy is we have a lot of good players, but we had a lot of good players that were the same. So we had a bunch of players who were central midfielders, who were good on the ball, were skillful on the ball, who could connect passes with each other. But then in the end, you can't make a team of 11 guys who are the same. You need athletic guys who can get up and down the line. You need center backs who are hard in the air. You need everything. You can't just say, okay, we have a lot of skillful guys. Look, this is what we have. And I think that's kind of a little bit what we had. And I think that's a little bit of the nature of what we see, because when you go on the field and you see a good player, normally the good player we all pick is the little number eight guy who can turn and can hit a through ball. But in the end, you can only play maybe two of those guys in a game, not 11. And so I think we're coming along. And to be fair, in the last 6 to 12 months, we've made an effort here to recruit a different type of athlete to the academy, and we're seeing them. Eric Hurd at 16 years old, Ike at 17 years old. We have guys now who are athletic who will be players down the road.
That is fantastic stuff from Todd Bramos. Can't agree with him more on that. That's great stuff there. He said we're recruiting a different athlete right now, and he's right. Listen, with all due respect, you can't lay out a midfield in Major League Soccer of Memo Rodriguez, Matias Vera, and Marcelo Palomino. It's not going to be able to compete. It's just too powerful and athletic of a league. So you got to get the right blend. And these are all talented soccer players. But we got to be realistic. You can't do that in this league. Todd Bramos making that statement right there. I think fantastic. This is what spurs conversation. All right, we're going to go to the break with the Who here. We're going to remind you really quickly. Burning Topics came out today, by the way, by Cactus Music. So if you go to Twitter, at Glenn Davis Sock, at Soccer Matters GD, you'll find it there. This show is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, presenting 713-322-HURT, DaspitLaw.com. When we come back, I believe we're going to go to Jordi Sunyer, Barcelona, talking about Xavi coming back to Barcelona.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters, both on the Horn and on ESPN 97.5 in Houston. So really, really big news here. This next interview is going to be brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com in Houston, DaspitLawAustin.com in Austin, Texas. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they're going to take your case. It is DaspitLaw.com, DaspitLawAustin.com from TB3 in Barcelona, Spain. One of our great consistent guests who keeps us up on everything La Liga, Barcelona, Real Madrid. He's Jordi Sunyer. He joins us now. Jordi, thank you very much for coming on the program as always.
Thank you for having me on again, Ben. Thank you very much.
We're very fortunate to get your insight as things are breaking here with Xavi being announced the coach of Barcelona. What are some of your observations? I mean, everybody kind of knew this was coming, but, you know, what's the mood? What's the personality of everybody in Barcelona right now around this?
I know this could be a little exaggerated, but I would say Xavi has been welcomed like nearly like a messiah here in Barcelona, because he has been unveiled at the Nou Camp in front of 10,000 Barcelona fans, and the introduction has been like a new signing, if Barcelona had signed one of the best players in the world, because Xavi is expected to change nearly everything at Barcelona, nearly everything that has gone wrong in the last few years. Of course, he cannot solve the financial problems at the club, but he can change, or he's expected to change many things in sporting terms, change the style of play, making changes that are being considered as very important in the medical department at the club, because right now there are 11 players that are injured in the first team squad. So that's a very difficult situation. And physios, physical trainers, doctors have been heavily criticized in the last few weeks about this issue, all these injuries. So that's why I said that he's being welcomed like a messiah. He knows the club. He's a Catalan. He has played for Barcelona. He's been one of the best players, one of the best local players in Barcelona history. So expectations are really high. There's a high pressure on Xavi, but as you may remember, he started playing for Barcelona and everybody here consider that he could be the next Pep Guardiola. And now the story repeats again, because as a manager, many people expect him to be the next Pep Guardiola.
He spent 6 years in Qatar. He's come back. Xavi announced as the coach of Barcelona. Okay, realistically, let's talk about finances. Let's talk about, there's already talk about change of players in January in the transfer window. You know, where are the expectations realistically now from you?
It will be difficult to get new players on the January transfer window because the financial situation of Barcelona is very difficult. But he has just said, Xavi, in his first press conference, that he will speak with the club to try to get new players. He wants, first of all, to bring some new wingers. His style of play is based on 4-3-3, although he has said he can change systems, but he wants to play, of course, a very attacking game, high pressing, and wingers very open. He wants to widen the field. So he will try to get some of these kind of players in the January transfer window. He wants to renew the contract of Ousmane Dembélé. He has just said, Xavi Hernández, that with a good work on him, even psychologically and on things that are not 100% related to the pitch, he can be one of the best players or even the best player in the world in his position. So that says things about what Xavi wants to do. But don't expect him to ask for a big January campaign or even a big summer campaign. He has said, from now on, we have to change many things. We have to compete again, try to do our best this season with the players we have. But our project is a project thought for the future, not for the immediate present. We'll try to do our best. We'll try to bring Barcelona to the next UEFA Champions League. We'll try to reach the final 16 of this Champions League 2021-22. But he knows expectations are high, but you have to be prudent on the situation.
Jordi Sunyer, TV3, joining us. Look, they had a huge collapse at Celta Vigo this weekend. They were leading 3-0, end up 3-3. Has he put out sort of a time frame of, hey, look, this is a plan? Has he tempered all the excitement and the enthusiasm? And, you know, obviously you use the word Messiah. That's not used with too many people. Has he tempered that a little bit with, look, we got to put a plan in place. There's a vision. There's a lot of things that have to be repaired because there's been a lot of problems here at Barcelona.
There have been some concepts that he has insisted in his introduction with the fans. First of all, he knows Barcelona means winning. He says Barcelona is one of the best clubs in the world. So that means Barcelona cannot draw, Barcelona cannot lose, they have to win. But he has also said that he cannot promise results. What he will do, for sure, and he has insisted on that, he will change norms and rules at the dressing room, because he has said this sentence 3 or 4 times during the press conference. From his experience as a player, when they had rules in the dressing room, serious rules that everyone had to observe, things went well. When there have been no rules and everybody at the dressing room has been allowed to do anything he wants, here the problems have started. It's not only a footballing thing. For sure it is. At Celta Vigo, they were winning 3-0 and finally drew the match because in the second half, the team ceased to attack. They only tried to defend. They gave the ball to Celta Vigo and didn't play anymore like they were playing in the first half. A quite attractive game that gave him this three-goal advantage. there's, of course, the psychological thing. Even with injuries, you have Ansu Fati scoring goals, giving a great performance, and then he gets this muscular injury. But it's also a behavioral thing. You see, for example, and this will be a key name in the last in the next few months. Sorry, Gerard Piqué, Xavi and Piqué are not friends. They are simply colleagues. For example, Xavi and Busquets are friends, long-term friends. But with Piqué, they are simply colleagues. You see Piqué the day before a training session at let's say 10 a.m. in the morning in Madrid, introducing the next Davis Cup. You know, one of his businesses is organizing the Tennis Davis Cup. There are things that you cannot allow in a professional, high-level team like Barcelona.
Jordi, isn't that an example of what you just mentioned about the discipline? And now that it's loose, guys are doing all kinds of secondary things. The focus may not primarily be on Barcelona and football.
Of course. For example, players don't have breakfast together at the sports city that Barcelona has in San Joan de Despí. They don't have lunch together anymore. They have breakfast. They have lunch at home. This with Xavi, and he has confirmed that it's over. They will have breakfast together again at the training ground. They are going to have lunch again on the training ground. They will have to be as professional as you can be. Spend as many hours you can spend at the training ground, at the gym, being a really full-time professional football player for a team like Barcelona. Discipline will bring results. That's a thing that Xavi is convinced of, and he has insisted on that in his press conference.
Talking to Jordi Sunyer, TV3. So I'm assuming that guys like Sergio Busquets, Gerard Piqué, ultimately are going to be moved on. Is that kind of the feeling you're hearing in the press over there, your feeling?
No, the feeling is if the older players abide with this new regime, with this discipline that Xavi wants to bring to Barcelona, everything will be all right, even with the older players that have been criticized for, as you were saying, this loose approach to discipline in the last few years. Like overall, I would say rather Piqué or Jordi Alba. I would say that the thing with Busquets is more a sporting thing or even an injury thing, because you know his 32, he has had problems with injuries also. The main focus is on discipline. So if older players respect this discipline and work again 100% to get Barcelona back to where they are, everything will be all right for them. If not, of course, Xavi will have no problems to remove them and search new ideas, new players, search substitutes for them in the starting 11. The idea, I think, for Xavi is very clear. If you work 100% to 100%, you will have a place in my team. If not, you will be removed.
Jordi Sunyer, TV3 here. Okay, so, you know, obviously there's so much influence from Pep Guardiola, who is his coach. We go all the way back to Johan Cruyff. We talk about the great Barcelona teams with Messi and Iniesta. I know that obviously this is where his coaching influences have come. How will that have to be, you know, obviously the quality of players, all these other things that come into play now to try to move back towards that style? Where will he have to maybe change a little bit based on the modern game?
He is convinced that he is able to get from these players more than Ronald Koeman got. With these players, he's convinced to have the capacity to play an attacking game, a high-pressing game, an up-tempo game. As I said before, 4-3-3, but with the ability to change system even during a match. Widen the field, wingers very open, near the touchline, high intensity. He's convinced on he's he's convinced that he can do it for sure. But of course, he cannot play like Pep Guardiola because, you know, football is evolving in a permanent way. You cannot play like the team did 10 years before because you have seen Klopp Tuchel playing a transition game, a counter-attacking game, more physical. So you have to adapt this idea that he has received from so many coaches, Johan Cruyff, Pep Guardiola, Frank Rijkaard, Luis Enrique, Louis van Gaal, whoever. He has to adapt this idea to the new times. And that's why he wants to change things in the medical department at Barcelona also, because he wants people that is able to prepare the players physically to get this high level of physical performance in a football game. Barcelona is lacking that in the last few years. They have many arguments about this issue. Many people thinking that Barcelona not fit enough to resist the high tempo required in the football game that's been playing nowadays. So of course he can count on these players, but there's much work to be done, and he has said that there's much work to be done with them, but he feels he can do that. He's very confident on that.
Yeah, interesting. He says he can get more out of the players. That's actually a great statement to make to the fan base. All right, Jordy, last one before we go. You call a lot of the Barcelona B games, and you told me before we started the interview that you saw Xavi, the first thing he did basically when he got to Barcelona was come watch the reserve team. Pretty amazing. Great statement, too.
That's a very important picture. You know what? At Barcelona, La Masia is very important. It's been a key to the success of the first team during many years. You remember Pep Guardiola played with a team in some games that was fully formed from players from La Masia, 11 first team players from La Masia. That's very important. And Xavi landed in Barcelona Saturday at 1 p.m. local time. The game of the reserve game was played at 7 p.m., even coming from Doha, even waking up at 3 or 4 a.m. in the morning, even after a long travel. He was alongside his brother, Oscar Hernandez, and Mateo Alemany, who is the football director of FC Barcelona, watching the reserves. And not only the first half, it was not only to get the picture done to be published on newspapers and saying, okay, Xavi has come to watch the reserves. No, he stayed for the full 90 minutes of the game, watching how the reserves play, which were the most promising players in this generation. There are several players that are still registered as B-team players, such as Nico González or Gabi or Alejandro Valde. But he wanted to watch them, and he wants to this week, as it's a week of national team games, he wants to bring all the B team players to train with the first team players that have stayed in Barcelona, and he wants to know what he has at his disposal in the B team. He believes in La Masia. He believes in the work that has been done in La Masia for the fans. That's very important, and that's a first, I would say, positive point, good mark for Xavi in the view of the fans, of course.
Jordy, you're the best. We get it straight from you in Barcelona. Thank you so much. Exciting times with Xavi coming back. It's going to keep you doing a lot of work, I think, around Barcelona. Thank you for joining us, as always.
Thank you very much, Glenn. Been a pleasure.
He's the man. He's Jordy Sunyer, TV3 in Barcelona, Spain, with that update. It's all brought to you by DaspitLawAustin.com and DaspitLaw.com in Houston. A big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. 24/7, they're going to work for you. Personal injury attorneys, car accident, boat, motorcycle, they are there for you. John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm, bringing soccer to the airwaves. Take a break. We got more to come.
Years of research and innovation. Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do